everybody. Welcome to Steel and Naz. A different pace, actually, here tonight. No Steel, no Magic. In comes Anton and James Essence back in the studio. We got quite the show for you. New England Football Journal's Kevin Stone joins the show to talk about his time covering Boston College football this year. We get into the depth of the divisional round last weekend, the results, our conference championship Sunday predictions, and you know, who thinks Tom Brady's going to go to the Super Bowl and who's not? What do you think, James?
Are we doing this right now?
No. All right, guys, here it is. Kevin Stone, football time. Co-owner of the New England Football Journal, Kevin Stone, on with us. Kev, I haven't seen you in a long time, buddy. How are we doing?
Adam, I'm doing good, man. It has been a long time. We were covering some pretty garbage games back in the day, but I'm doing good, man. How are you guys doing?
Good, you know, just trying to survive in advance here in COVID-19 2021, right?
I hear you.
Yeah, so just tell me about this New England Football Journal. I mean, obviously, I've seen it within the past couple months. You guys cover a certain amount of, you know, football around the area.
Yeah, so kind of to back up just a sec, how we got started. Last Super Bowl Sunday, actually, so just about a year ago, John Serenides, my partner, and I sat down at Gillette Stadium, actually, in the parking lot, and kind of hashed out a business plan of how to run this site. And it's something he's been working on for about 2 years now. And as you know, I've been with the Metro West Daily News for about 10 years. And it's tough to kind of plan other stuff when you don't know your schedule every day. So it was kind of, we weren't sure if it was going to get off the ground, but we've done a pretty good job the first year. We were lucky enough to cover BC, and we were one of, I think, 8 media outlets that got into alumni this year. So,
oh wow,
that was pretty cool for us. And we've had a few guests on our podcast so far. I know you guys have been killing the guest game, but it's going well. I've known John for about 10 years now. I was writing for the Norwood Record in Norwood, Mass. About
that sounds
10
like
years
a clinic.
Ago. Yeah.
No having kidding. The record, I know there's like the Herald or the Globe or something like that. Just the record, that sounds like so like 1920s.
Seriously, it was a weekly paper, and I was making $150 to write 5 stories a week on anything I wanted. So he got the Norwood football job, and I met him back then, and we reconnected.
Oh, so you guys were boys, yeah?
Yeah. So we kind of lost touch. You know, he's got a family, he got a wife and kid, and he's also a teacher in Norwood, so we didn't talk for a while, and we reconnected at BC one day, and now here we are a year later, and hoping to get into Gillette next year, but it's been pretty good so far.
See, I'm not the biggest, like, BC football fan, but our guy James is over here.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
Yeah, just how was your experience there this year? I know you got to go over to Syracuse. That's the Carrier Dome, right?
Yeah, so that was awesome. I mean, I've grown up a Syracuse lacrosse fan my whole life. So I always wanted to go there for that, but never had the chance. And covering BC this year, you know, being an alumni, it was empty, and it was really weird. And so was the Carrier Dome. But just seeing that place, and again, in terms of lacrosse history, it's one of the, you know, one of the premier places to go in the country. So that was awesome for me personally. But covering BC there, the seats are right at the 50-yard line. So that was pretty sick. But it was definitely strange this year with no fans in the building. But they did a pretty good job in terms of, you know, trying to make it, I guess, somewhat of an atmosphere. But, I mean, there was no escaping how weird it was at times.
Yeah, but at least he actually had, like, a decent team. And, you know, the coach actually looked like he gave a damn. Was it Hatley there, the guy coming over from Ohio State?
Jeff Hatley, yeah. So his introductory press conference, I was covering for Mass Varsity at the time. And the place was, you know, it was every seat in the room was filled in. You could tell why guys like Richard Sherman have talked highly about him, because he could hold a room. As you know, I'm a short guy. You know, I could probably get my ass kicked on a football field. I would have ran through a wall for him.
Listening to him. COVID so. Central to me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So right from the jump, he kind of just brought an energy to that program. I was never really a BC guy either. You know, you followed him. Growing up around here, you kind of follow them from afar, but no one really pays attention.
Yeah.
But being a part of, you know, the media that cover them this year, he's completely changed that culture around. His coaching staff, it's an NFL coaching staff. they're going to be a really fun team to follow for at least, you know, 4 or 5 years.
I wanted to kind of follow up there. Their QB, I mean, usually it's their defense, and I think they have one of the top defenses again this year. Their QB actually looks legitimate. Like, I don't follow BC as well. I may have gambled on a few BC games, and just watching him, I was like, oh, wow, I'm not going to just throw my money and burn it in a trash can on this QB here.
I see a lot of Big Ben Roethlisberger.
A little bit.
His name is Phil Jakovic, right?
Yeah, Jakovic from Philly or Pittsburgh or something.
Transfer from Notre Dame, yep.
Yeah. So, first of all, they really screwed up by not signing him or keeping him.
They didn't keep him?
Notre Dame, I'm saying. They fucked up big time. So, I think he has 3 years of eligibility left. It's either 2 or 3. But if you look at that whole offense, you got Zay Flowers, who worked out with Antonio Brown in the offseason. You got the only guy that's really leaving is Hunter Long, the tight end. He's going to be a force in the NFL in the red zone. But that whole offense is coming back next year. They're all young guys. Guys like C.J. Lewis, the receiver who had, I don't know if you remember, the unreal touchdown catch against Clemson.
I do. I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
They should have won that game.
Both receivers.
Yeah, absolutely.
They blew that bad.
Definitely. So, for the first time in a long time, they're worth paying attention to just because of the offense. And Jakovic is a big part of that. He's been compared to Roethlisberger for a reason. He's a big dude, but he can run too. They didn't really have him run as much as they really wanted to. But he's a tough kid too. The Syracuse game, he played with a separated shoulder, and nobody knew. Halfley said it after the game. So,
do you think his knee's a problem?
I hope not. I mean, obviously, you know, we don't really know, but
he does rock a brace, right?
Yeah. So that's part of the reason why they didn't. He can run when, you know, given the ability, but they want him to scramble more, I guess is how I would put it, but. They're gonna be really fun to follow. For as long as Halfley is there, you have to imagine he moves on at some point. BC is usually a stepping stone, unfortunately. So, but for now, he's got people buying in, and I know a lot of people paid attention this year. I think they had like 5 million viewers for the Clemson game and the North Carolina game. So yeah, man, people are on board with them.
Yeah, you see Trevor Lawrence, you know, going in the draft. You know, ACC could shake up next year. I'm not saying that BC is going to win the ACC championship or anything, but, you know, don't hold your breath.
Hey, don't tempt me with a good time. I can have a lot of fun down there.
From the collegiate ranks to professional, the Patriots finished 7-9 this year?
7-9.
Pretty garbage. You know, there's a lot of promise in the beginning, you know, even with the loss of the Seahawks, you know, you thought Cam Newton was going to come on. And, you know, he did everything right besides actually play the game of football.
You know, it's funny, you guys, this is my first episode back on the pod in 4 episodes. And
we get it, dude, you're back.
It's been a long time coming to let you guys know about this. If you didn't know beforehand, before the season started, everyone, well, not everyone at this table because we have a few absent, but a lot of optimism was for the Pats season. I think there was a lot of 13-3s, a lot of 12-4s, and it was all if Cam Newton stays healthy, which he did for the most part.
I mean, he had a little COVID scheme. I said he was going. I said they were going 9-7, so they went 7-9. So they had the same numbers. It was just switched around.
No, I said 13-3. I was fucking off.
But, yeah, Kevin, what did you see wrong? And Cam Newton obviously didn't throw the ball, but, I mean, could you think Jared Stidham could have done better? You think what's the next option here?
So, for me, the biggest takeaway from this year is, look, we all know Belichick is the best coach of all time. He always will be. But he can't be criticized enough for how he handled the quarterback position. Look, swallow your pride and just acknowledge that Tom Brady is in fact, above the team. He might be one of the few athletes ever that wouldn't have acted that way, even if he did get the extension. So that's the biggest screw up. In terms of what we saw this season, I didn't think it was possible to be worse than Tebow, but he was. That was fucking brutal.
Hey, that's my boy Tebow right there. That's
harsh. That's a good comparison. I think that's a perfect comparison. He played like fucking Tim Tebow.
And actually, you know what? Tebow won a playoff game.
Correct. On the first play of overtime.
Yeah. And Cam Newton won an MVP and won the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, that's just another story.
But
I feel.
Oh, go.
No, go ahead.
Going into the offseason, I mean, I think Stidham's gone. I think whether he makes it, he's not going to make it through training camp, but they're not going to get anything for them. I think they even cut him. I think it's just going to be one of those weird things. I don't know if Cam's going to be back. I think we're going to be ending up with we're going to be in that Mitchell Trubisky fucking Mariota range right now. Unless we draft
I kind of like Mariota. I mean, you're not going to win a championship with Mariota, but the Raiders might have had the best backup in the league this year.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And, for me, I think the ideal situation is Jimmy G. You hit the ground running. If he comes back, there's nothing new for him. You know, you can hit the ground running, and then free agency can kind of go to receivers. I honestly don't want them taking a quarterback in the first round.
No, me neither.
There's so many holes that you have to do other things other than, you know, take a chance on a guy you have no idea about.
Yeah, I'd rather them stick with a veteran quarterback and, you know, get some weapons in the first round.
What do you think about, them picking up those big weapons, like a Ja'Marr Chase from LSU drafting, or even just, I think Allen Robinson's a free agent.
Oh, guy Waddle.
A.J. Green. I mean, there's some big wide receivers out there. You know, Allen Robinson's by far the best, but
I'm thinking even the draft, too. In? The guy Jalen Waddle from Alabama, he's supposed to go late round.
The LSU kid.
Yeah, him, too. The guy, Devonta Smith, too. He's supposed to go mid-late round just because he's small, which I'm not buying that at all. He's going to be incredible.
No, he was unbelievable. But
yeah.
I don't trust them taking a receiver that early.
No, I don't think so either. It's a nice thought, though.
Yeah. I'd rather see them draft defense. If they are going to use that pick and stay where they are, go defense and look, they haven't had a guy like Vince Wilfork or Richard Seymour for a while now, or even like a Ted Washington from back in the day. So I'd rather go D-tackle. We all know they're going to trade either back or out and piss the region off. But, I don't want them. Ideally, I want them to somehow get Jimmy G and then go the Redskins route and actually draft two quarterbacks in that draft, kind of like they did with Cousins and RG3. Look, I know, those were higher picks, but at least the same idea. Just completely change the quarterback room and at least have one veteran in there. And if it's Jimmy G, again, you're not starting from scratch and you hit the ground running.
Why is Jimmy G
your favorite?
What's the hope here? Yeah, why is he coming back? Why is he leaving San Fran?
Because he's so good looking.
is it just kind of best case scenario for you or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, again, for me, it's mainly about, look, we saw they had to try and change the entire offense this year for Cam Newton. And then they ended up not having an offense. So ideally if Jimmy G comes back and you put something around him other than N'Keal Harry, you have to imagine the offense at least moves a little bit better. I mean,
another guy that might get cut too. Yeah, N'Keal Harry.
I mean, yeah. So, I mean, Christ, Brian Hoyer looked like Peyton Manning against the Chiefs until he hit the red zone. So, the offense, the system was still there. They just didn't have a quarterback to run it, or really receivers to run it either. So, I think with Jimmy G, you can kind of go back to what you really were. And again, McDaniels is probably back here now as well, so that makes his job a hell of a lot easier, too.
I was going to say something about Josh McDaniels. He can't – remember, the last 2-3 years ago, every team that didn't have a head coach wanted him. And now I bet he wants a head coaching job somewhere. He just wants to get out of New England, and he can't even buy one. The Eagles just picked up the old coordinator from the Colts today, right? And they said Josh McDaniels was a top candidate for that, and now it's a whole wash.
Dude, it's funny. So Joe Murray, I heard this – he was on with Jones the other night, and I heard him say, what if Philly brought him in just to waste his freaking time? Give him a full day. Just because, him backing out of that Indy job, they lost Frank Reich.
Did they?
So obviously Frank Reich was going to get a job somewhere, but maybe they hold on to him for a year or two.
I love that theory.
And they can make another run. So this was Joe Murray's theory, and I loved it. So, and now after today, they spent, it was either 8 or 12 hours with him, and he doesn't get the job. So, I got to think that might be part of it. And yeah, if it is, I love how petty that is.
Yeah, for listeners who didn't hear, so Frank Reich coaches the Colts, and Josh McDaniels backed out, accepted it, and then backed out like a couple days later of the job. So Philly lost out on getting Reich when they were going to get another head coach. So this is why the potential payback could be in order.
Right. Again, it was Joe Murray's theory, and I love it.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Reich did cost them the Colts that game, just saying. I'm not,
that Philly team, wasn't great, but if they still have Reich, who knows, maybe they make a run in 18 or 19 and they get another ring out of it because they're a dumpster fire right now.
Yeah, if you're an average team in the NFC East, you make the playoffs. That's what I've seen.
Right, right.
but is Doug Peterson that bad of a coach? I thought he was like – he deserved to be fired on it, honestly. Obviously, he beat us in a Super Bowl, but I think he's a pretty decent coach, isn't it?
Yeah, just a lot of injuries, and, you know, the offensive line did not help out Carson Wentz. I know Carson Wentz didn't do a good job, but
I don't think he's very good either.
I think he's in the right spot. Him and Sam Darnold are guys I'm still sticking on. They're just not in the right position right now.
I agree.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. I would be surprised if Sam Darnold ends up in Houston at some point either.
Oh, yeah, that'd be something. They need to change around.
Can I throw this theory out there for you guys?
Yeah.
Because he mentioned, you know, he wants Garoppolo, a veteran presence, and I think that's smart because you don't want Coach Subway drafting the quarterback because
Coach Subway.
His draft record isn't so good the last few years. He's drafted quite poorly over the last few years. So I think you're giving the greatest coach of all time, in quotation marks, who's very... I think debatable now, you could say, kind of overpaid. I think he's getting paid like $25 million a year. You can maybe lower that a bit.
Brad Stevens coaching for his job? Like, can we just cut the crap?
But I'm sorry. Similar situation like with Brady and Belichick. You know, Belichick, in words, kind of, you know, gave up on Brady a little bit, right? Sean Payton's had a hard-on for Taysom Hill. We know that, what that situation's going on. How do you guys feel about Drew Brees in a Patriots uniform?
I have a hard-on for Drew Brees.
He's going to retire.
I think he's done.
This is even a thing. If you want to get out onto like Jameis Winston, talk about how he's going to take over the Saints franchise, we can do a whole hour on that if you want.
Imagine just... Drew Brees is too good of a guy to come.
But Drew just got pretty much embarrassed by a guy who came into his division, took him down as his kid's favorite player. But now what you can do is go to Brady's old stomping grounds with Coach Subway and rebuild the dynasty. Win two championships with Drew Brees.
Yeah,
he's an upgrade over Cam Newton.
And then maybe wake up.
I'm an upgrade over Cam Newton.
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far.
we'll move on here. So, you know, we had quite the divisional round last weekend. I'll start with the first game. The first game of the day, Green Bay over the Rams. You know, I think it was exactly what was going to happen. They were ranking it like the first offense against the first defense. But at the end of the day, the Rams don't really have an offense. So how do you compete with the first offense in Green Bay when you just don't have one? Aaron Rodgers took care of business. They kind of blew him out. What was it, 14-point win? Anyone have a good take on that?
So it's funny. As you know, I'm addicted to DraftKings, and I stacked I actually stacked Green Bay. Look, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey are problems, but on the road at Green Bay after traveling to Seattle, if you couldn't see that coming, you just don't really watch football. That was bound to happen to Green Bay or to the Rams. It's just they ran out of gas. That's all it was. And,
absolutely.
And Aaron Rodgers is just. He's a man amongst boys right now.
Yeah, Sean McVay was just happy to be there. I mean, them can pass the Seahawks.
I also think, though, Green Bay's defense doesn't get enough credit. I think they're better than people actually say. I mean, they're not, you know, maybe one of the top five, but they're definitely a top 10 defense, and they had a great game.
Because other offenses try to keep up with Green Bay and play hardball. And then, like you said, the harsh reality is Green Bay's defense is actually pretty good. So at a point where it's, I don't know, a 14-14 game, you blink, and all of a sudden there's three more touchdown passes and then some stops. So 35-14.
Their D-tackle, what's his name there? Kenny Clark. He had a great game.
Yeah. My takeaway, too, from this game would be, is the Jared Goff experiment over?
He's like the third highest quarterback in football.
Him and Sean McVay seem not to be on the same page. And I guess the headline after that game was there seems to be like an impending divorce coming, possibly.
I wanted to see Blake Bortles in the game. That's what I wanted to say.
So I will say, I'm actually somewhat impressed with the Rams. After that Super Bowl loss to the Patriots, didn't you guys think they were just going to fold and be like 6-10 for the rest of, you know, eternity? I'm actually surprised that they've kind of gotten back to that level this quick. I wouldn't be surprised if they move on from Goff, but it's hard not to be at least a little impressed with what he did this year, especially being hurt.
Yeah, the problem with him, though, is he's just, like, such a stiff that if he doesn't let go of the ball in, like, 2 or 3 seconds, like, he's done. Like, a Cooper Kupp guy is a guy who's, like, saved his career. Like, just a quick, like, I don't know, what'd you say, Edelman dump outs for 10, 15 yards.
Imagine Tom Brady prime with Cooper Kupp. He's a Hall of Famer. Like, it's just, like, not, I don't know. I think he'd be better than Wes Welker. Like, Cooper Kupp is an extremely good wide receiver.
Yeah, he's like, big, too. Yeah. I think he's, like, 6'2".
Goff looks a little bit like Drew Bledsoe. He does the whole ball pat thing.
Yeah, he does.
And I love Drew Bledsoe. He's my favorite quarterback. You know, I have his freaking Bills and Cowboys jerseys. But he definitely holds the ball too long. But again, for what he did this year, after you know getting embarrassed 2 years ago in the Super Bowl, McVay and him both deserve a little bit of credit at least.
Yeah. So the second game on Saturday was Buffalo against Baltimore, and Buffalo took this game. You know, it was right down to the wire. I think Buffalo played a tremendous game. Baltimore goes down. Lamar Jackson on like the 3-yard line throws a pick six to like, you knew the game was over there because like there just wasn't a lot of scoring. Was it the final score like, what was it, like 17-3, 13-3?
I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday.
Yeah, so it was like 13-3 or something. Either way, I think Buffalo's defense is for real, and I think their offense is even more elite. 17-3. Yeah, 17-3 final. I saw a lot of good from Baltimore this season, you know, the big jump with the playoff win over the Titans, Lamar Jackson finally getting his first win. But, yeah, Buffalo is here to stay in advance of the AFC Championship.
If you're not rooting for Buffalo at this point, just the words to watch that city burn to the ground, then what are you even doing?
Yeah.
They deserve it at this point, and just that fan base alone. But, look, I never believed in Allen. It's hard not to at this point. Just some of the throws he's able to make, it's impressive, and he's certainly proved a ton of people wrong. In terms of the Ravens, they're a college offensive. And I have no idea how they keep getting as far as they do. They literally have one receiver, and that's it. So Lamar Jackson keeps carrying them. I just don't know how that's sustainable. But again, if you're not rooting for Buffalo at this point, then you have no soul.
Yeah, the other thing I was going to say, too, with Baltimore is, like, as much as I agree with that, where, like, they don't even have anyone to throw to, really, I still think they're a good matchup for the – like, if they play the Chiefs. Because all they do is just hold on the ball, TOP, keep Mahomes off the field. So I think they would have been a good matchup if they were able to get the job done. But, you know, the wagons roll on in Buffalo, huh?
Yeah, no, it's I thought someone else was going there for a minute. no, it's, again, just based on their fan base alone. I mean, what the hell is there to do in Buffalo? You have the Sabres and the Bills, and that's literally it.
Get drunk and go through tables.
Right, so... at this point, it's such a crappy year. It's good to see that miserable hellhole getting to have some fun. So I'm all in on the Bills up until they play Tampa Bay.
The Steel and Naz podcast went 2-0 that night. We were all on the Packers. We were all on the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, sick. We took both favorites, so you want to keep bragging
about it. Well, I'm just saying, hey, like, you know.
I went 4-0 taking all four favorites that weekend. So.
Speaking of Kansas City, now, that was a pretty unique game with Cleveland there Sunday afternoon. So there was a weird score, right? I don't have the scores in front of me. But
it might have been a score-nami, which is huge.
Yeah.
I love seeing it.
So the thing was, Mahomes went down in the third quarter with a concussion. Out comes
Chad Henne.
Chad freaking Henne.
Yep. Future Hall of Famer.
Michigan alum. You know, threw an awful pick. Let the Browns back in the game. The Browns could have done great stuff that game. They blow it.
They had their chances.
And then Chad Henne gets the job done with a run where he was just about there for the first down. And then instead of everyone thinking, not really everyone thinking, but Tony Romo thinking that they were just going to call a timeout, but then he dumps it off for a first down. Kansas City wins the game. Moves on the AFC Championship. Anyone have any thoughts on this game?
Not really. No, it's just look, both teams are just, they're so frustrating to watch. My biggest takeaway was actually, I wish the Patriots had drafted Baker Mayfield, because I still think he's the real deal. And Higgins, that drop before halftime, cost me the over, betting the over there too. So I wasn't happy about that. But all year long, John and I on our podcast have said that Kansas City reminded us of the 99 Rams and the 07 Patriots. And they really do. Their speed is just stupid. They can score at will usually. Mahomes is obviously, there is no concussion protocol when it comes to this game. Let's be honest. He's obviously going to be fine. And he's going to, So I just don't know how Buffalo keeps up with them. Like, yeah, their offense has been good, but I just don't know. It's probably going to be a track meet. I know Buffalo's defense is good, but Kansas City's offense is just on another level.
As an DraftKings addict, as someone with many Tyreek Hill shares, Patrick Mahomes' concussion was unfortunate. That's all. That's all I'll say.
That was miserable.
The last game of the do you have something to say, James?
I was just going to say I completely agree. The Chiefs are absolutely outstanding on offense. I even kind of sometimes feel that they're so good that they're almost like robots. Like they are just almost like just going through the motions of being so good and almost like get bored in games where I think that's why it's Buffalo might pull the upset in the upcoming conference championship, because if they take the Bills too lightly, or if Pat Mahomes isn't all the way ready to come back, I think the Bills could smack him in the mouth and win that game.
Just a stat, the Kansas City Chiefs haven't covered in their last five games.
Yeah, interesting.
I think the Chiefs cover all day. I think the Chiefs win.
We'll get to the predictions. last game of the day, and I'm in due for an apology soon because I had the Saints that game.
Let's hear it.
But Tom Brady takes down the New Orleans Saints. Final score 30-20. You know, it was a back and forth game. Drew Brees was clearly hurt. Playoff Lenny, right? That's the guy, Leonard Fournette. That's what they call him.
Oh yeah.
And Ronald Jones, the tandem coming together. You know, Mike Evans, of course, out to lunch, not showing up in big games. But you know, the defense, Devin White. A pick and a fumble recovery really turned things around. And Tampa's on route to the NFC Championship game. How does that feel?
So have you guys been on Team Tom all year?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, so just so you know, we have, all right, two of us are, but one of us is a giant Cowboys fan and hates the Patriots.
I'm sorry, but okay.
Yeah, it's not me.
Thank you.
Okay. So, no, I only ask because, we've been doing a Tampa Bay Tuesday piece on our website every week. So we've been all in on them all year, or at least I have. John is actually a Packers shareholder. So he's not happy about facing Brady this week. But, man, it's been as miserable as the past season has been. It's been fun to watch Tampa Bay kind of turn into Tom Brady's team now. He's clearly the reason why they are where they are, and they're even admitting it in press conferences. I mean, they're saying he's the reason why we're so good, which is kind of embarrassing as a franchise. But
I hate it. I couldn't stand the other day when Arians came out and said, oh, we actually let him coach the players. And it's like, all right, dude, do your job for once, you know? See what I did there? See what I did there?
His job's to delegate.
Do your job.
I've been rooting for them all year. It's funny. I asked my dad for a Bucks hoodie for Christmas, and he kind of rolled his eyes at me, and he reminded me, back in probably 2001, I asked him for a Yankees hat so I could be like Fred Durst. And he's like, this is a little bit more respectable, but you're still an asshole.
I appreciate your dad, because you know what, man? I don't understand. I mean, again, I'm a Cowboys fan. I don't understand how every New England, not every New England Patriots fan, but most New England Patriots fans are salivating. High school diploma. But again, this makes no sense. As a fan, how are you not sick to your stomach to see your GOAT on another team? Because
it was 20 years of tradition.
It makes me sick.
So, six Super Bowls.
Honestly, when I see Tom Brady go back on the play action on third down and just hit someone right at that fucking yellow line,
I get a boner. I don't know what it is. I miss it so much. And then I see Cam Newton's fucking...
And not just Brady, too. The Golden Retriever, no, Gronk, too. No.
Kyrie Irving, Cam Newton wants to stop saying their names.
I missed the play action right at the fucking yellow.
What were you
going
to say, Kevin?
No, so this, I look at it two different ways. Yeah, it's miserable to see him in another uniform, but for this year at least, look, again, I said it earlier, Belichick isn't was the best coach that's ever going to, you know, walk the earth, but you can criticize him this year and still root for Brady. We did our Tampa Bay Tuesday thing every week because he's the best athlete this region has ever seen and probably will ever see. So I still want to see, you know, greatness at its peak. So I want to see him win as much as possible. Now, it helps that it's in Tampa Bay and it's not, you know, an AFC team like the Baltimore Ravens or something. But yeah, it's miserable to watch him in another uniform, but it's also nice to see greatness, you know, still prevailing. And also, Tim Stowe would have been too. And I think he kind of deserved that this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? Don't be sad because it's over. Be happy it happened. You know, you use that cliche all the time. But, you know, that
right.
One,
live,
that
laugh,
one really
love, right?
Yeah.
If Coach Subway just allows Alex Guerrero to be on the sideline, you still have the GOAT and you probably.
Did you see them like slap hands on the way in, though? Yeah. I still got some beef with Guerrero, but I'm sure he could really fix up my back because it needs a little fixing.
Maybe we can get him on the pod?
Yeah, I don't know. So we're going to move on to our predictions now. Conference Championship Sunday, occurring this Sunday. First, we'll start with the first game of the day, the Bucks at the Packers. The Packers are favored by 3. Feel free to say spreads, you know, picks. James, you got the floor.
Oh, I got to start off. Wow, lead off bat, huh? Well, do I pick Brady so he loses? Because if I pick him, he's absolutely going to lose. That's how this thing works. Except I've picked against him twice, and he's won twice. But no, this is a very funny statistic, though, hearing that. This is Aaron Rodgers' first time hosting a conference championship at Lambeau Field, and this is Brady's first conference championship at Lambeau Field, too.
Well, obviously.
That's pretty embarrassing. But I go Packers. I go Packers 21-19.
How is that embarrassing?
Aaron Rodgers.
He's one of one.
Huh?
He's only had a chance to go to the NFC Championship game once.
No, he's
and
saying
he did
it's
it.
Tom Brady's in Aaron Rodgers.
It's
at
both
the same
their
time.
It's both like their first conference the championship time. In Lambeau Field. I'm saying it's embarrassing for Rodgers, not Thomas.
Okay.
Not Thomas.
I got a little twist.
But 21-19 Packers.
Okay. What do you got, Anton?
I think it's going to be a weird game. I think it's going to be a little funny, and I think it's going to be a 2-point game, just like Jimmy's saying.
Copycat.
I don't think it's going to be 21-19. I think it's going to be a little bit more high scoring. I'd probably say, you know, like a 24-22, and it's because someone missed an extra point, and Packers take it.
Kevin, I'm going to let you have the floor here. I want the last one because I'm going to get going a little bit of a rant.
All right, so I'm taking Tampa Bay. I'd say they cover. I'd probably tease that in the over as well. I know it's going to snow, but I don't think it's going to snow that much. And the only mental edge Green Bay would have had is with the quarterback not playing in snow. And, you know, who else would you rather have in the snow than Brady? So
no one.
So I actually think it's a shootout. I'm going to go 38-35 bucks.
I like that. I like that. Well, first of all, I mean, if you listened to the show last week, I went against Tom Brady for the first time in my life. I'd like to make a public apology. Thomas Edward Patrick Brady, if you were ever listening to this, you know, I'm really sorry. And you proved me wrong. Once again, like you prove everyone wrong. And, you know, I'm not going to settle for this. I'm going to really change this around. End of rant. Tom Brady goes on the road with one of the best offenses he's had in his career, 21-year career. And gets the job done in Lambeau, 35-28. You know what? No, 38-27.
Wow.
Bucks. Hosting. And the big question to me was, who do you think would be hosting the Super Bowl at their own stadium for the first time? And there's only one answer to that. You know what his name is? Tom Brady. So that's my answer. Yeah, Tampa money line. Get it. So now we move on to the second game of Championship Sunday. The Bills on the road at the Chiefs. Chiefs favored by 3. Who do you like, James?
I kind of alluded to earlier that I think the Bills could pull the upset here. Gun to my head, though, I'm going to say Patrick Mahomes, State Farm City. We're going to go with the Chiefs. They're going to win by 6. I go 27-21.
Anton.
I think this is a route. I think if Patrick Mahomes' head is not like severely damaged, even, you know.
He seems to be fine.
Yeah, he seems. Like he said earlier, he's getting a pass concussion protocol. I think it's 35-21 Chiefs.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs on this one. I watched a little bit of the game they played early in the season, and that really didn't tell me anything because of the chemistry that the Bills have really built with each other. I really wouldn't mess around the spread here because it's going to be very close. I mean, a push is a win, obviously. But, yeah, I'm taking Chiefs by 3. How about you, Kev?
I'm going to go KC here. I'd love to pick Buffalo. You just can't do it against that Chiefs offense, especially at home. I'm going to go like 27, I don't know, 16-ish, something like that. And just to back up real quick, can we all agree that if Tampa Bay does lose, it'll be Bruce Arians' fault somehow?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Or like, okay. Byron Leftwich,
we'll
just
do it.
Calling a timeout when he shouldn't. And like he shouldn't even be entitled to timeouts. I looked up the other day, Brady's like 3 years older than him, which is kind of crazy.
Right. So I had to get that in there. But yeah, it's hard to go against the Chiefs, man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Kevin, since you're on the mic here, I just want to ask for your Super Bowl pick. What do you think it's going to be?
I have to go with Tampa Bay over Kansas City at this point. If nothing else, this NFC Championship game should literally be one of the best games, you know, ever to watch in the past 25, 30 years.
You're saying that NFC Championship game?
The NFC one, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
So in terms of, you know, in terms of the Super Bowl, it's a good matchup either way. But I honestly think this game this weekend might be, we'll look back on it as one of the best games ever. But Super Bowl wise, give me Tampa Bay over KC. No chance I'm giving you a score right now.
Oh, yeah.
No. Way too ahead. It's way too early.
3-0, you think? I think 3-0.
But yeah, it's give me Brady all day.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. Kevin, really appreciate you coming on New England Football Journal. Listeners, if you haven't seen it or looked it up, now you know. So get it done. Kevin, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. This was awesome. And hopefully we can do it in person soon when the world isn't ending.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Taking some masks off, too. That'd be great.
Thanks. Thanks, boys.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
So that was Kevin Stone of the New England Football Journal. Yeah, we really brushed upon some football stuff in terms of the collegiate game all the way to, you know, this upcoming weekend with Conference Championship Sunday. And
shut your phone off, man.
Yeah.
What's professional.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, boy. The Cowboys don't make the playoffs, so you're rooting for the
Yeah. Nice dig you got there. Well, hey, welcome back, James Askins, to the Steel and Az podcast. It's been a while, guys. What's up?
Just hanging, bro.
Just hanging.
You know what? I'm not doing good.
I'm not doing good either. You know, when I came here to the Mass Music headquarters, when I came here to do this podcast, I was promised a UFC star we're going to be interviewing, and we ended up interviewing Mr. Stone, which is a great interview. Don't get me wrong. But I was promised something different, all right? So I would like to apologize for, one, lies, and two, not being on the podcast the last 4 episodes because, you know, have good takes, too.
Stop trying to make yourself a villain. We invited you every time.
I don't know about that, man. But, hey.
I know all about that.
I think our podcast has been pretty good without him, even though I haven't been here either.
it's been pretty good, but we're missing two of our lovely friends here.
Yeah, one got hit by a car, the other one's yawning. What else do you want to talk about?
All I'm going to say is I hope whoever hits Steel, we're going to find you, and we're going to punish you to the highest extent of the law. And we're talking about Quincy Law, too, which is a whole nother level.
It was
and
Aaron Simons. Let's just move on.
It could have been Aaron Simons. and the Magic Mike, I hope you find what you're looking for yachting out in Florida. That's all I'm going to say, Magic.
So we'll move on here. So after 17 seasons in the NFL and the birth of 9 children, Philip Rivers retires from the NFL. Any comments on this?
Oh, I just want to ask you guys, Hall of Famer or no?
Absolutely.
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 I'm surprised the word not did not come after.
No, absolutely.
Really?
His dick goes in the Hall of Fame, that's for sure.
Well, that's a totally different
Hall
of Fame.
If you look at his stats, if you look at passing yards, touchdowns, it's all there. The only thing that's not there is Super Bowls, and I think he retired this year. He's like, okay, I'm actually not going to win one, so let's just end this now.
And Phil Rivers' dick can't go in the Hall of Fame because the thing is, mine's too big. There's no room for Phil Rivers' statue to be in the Hall of Fame, so it's in that debate. And he's not going to the NFL Hall of Fame because he didn't win a Super Bowl.
Doesn't matter.
You need one.
You're gonna let any quarterback in there that's played a bunch of games. I understand that he was, I think, second behind Brett Favre in most consecutive games played, which is definitely
got to be like a 10-time. I know Pro Bowl like doesn't mean shit, but he's got to be like a 10-time Pro Bowl.
I just feel like the NFL Hall of Fame should be a bit more. It shouldn't be like the basketball Hall of Fame.
Many
if you sneeze and you're a basketball player, you make the basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean that. I mean, in the same with kind of the baseball how it's going. It's like Tim Raines. Yeah, I know his underlying stats are great, and like Craig Biggio, like what? The only thing he ever led the league in is fucking hit by pitches. Like, come on, that doesn't get you. That's actually a pretty cool stat, but it doesn't get you in the Hall of Fame. I will say this: great try by Rivers. That offensive line for the Colts is like the best in the league, and they had some weapons. Like, maybe I do have a shot here, and I won't get fucking killed. They made the playoffs. They got screwed.
I say Philip Rivers is not a Hall of Famer, though. No way.
No, I don't think so either. No.
I think he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Great career.
No doubt.
Those Chargers teams early in his career, I think Marty Schottenheimer and I think LT and stuff. Like, he didn't get the big one.
If was
the big
Nate, one plus, was he Nate was the Kading? Famous Eli trade.
Who missed
there.
The field goal against the Pats? Was it Nate Kading? Was that guy name?
Yep.
Yeah, that was his year to do it.
Tom Brady cost a lot of Hall of Fame careers.
They really did. He just takes it. He's like still doing it.
He's a groom.
It's like Jordan. Jordan cost Barkley. He cost, you know.
You could make an argument that Brady's more impressive than Jordan, and that's insane. In fact, you can do that in the sport.
I don't think it's a question. I think he is more impressive than Jordan.
Yeah.
I don't think it's even a debate.
I agree, but some people like look at Jimmy Haskins over here. Think it's like the complete opposite.
Jimmy, why don't you go punt?
Well, it's funny because like 8 or 9 hours prior earlier on the Mass Music Morning Show, we had a very heated LeBron versus Michael Jordan debate, and I feel the same way. Jordan's still above Brady. There's no don't give me that noise.
Oh, you want to get in this argument right now?
It's two different sports. I mean, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to get. Okay. I'm gonna get persecuted, so I'd rather not. But.
Okay, Jesus.
Just respect greatness. I'm not saying both are the goats in their own sports.
We've talked about football for a while, so we'll go from the gridiron to the hardwood here. James Harden traded to the Brooklyn, formerly New Jersey, Nets. What do we think about this, James, since you want to talk about it? Because I hate the Nets.
This is a huge, huge story. Big time. And it's so interesting, too. It all stems from the whole Kyrie Irving personal reasons gone missing type thing, which is like I think so interesting what happened with Kyrie and everything that happened. Obviously, he didn't let anyone know what was going on, and I think that was all part of this plan to get James Harden to Brooklyn. Because you think about it, Kyrie Irving was an MVP candidate up until the date of January 5th. Okay, he was playing lights out.
He was. Both of them were.
James Harden on January 6th started kind of playing bad. I'm not sure if you realize this. And of course, you guys remember the memes of James Harden looking a bit like me, a bit chubby, out of shape, had some tacos at the strip club looking like. That's January 6th. On January 7th, Kyrie Irving dips, goes missing, immediately makes him untradeable.
Not surprising.
But that's a big part of it, though.
You wanted to talk about this, not me.
But I know how much you love Kyrie Irving, though. And I know how bad the media and people like you crucified this man for taking a break, which I think if it is mental health, I think it's there's an excuse there. And some of the stuff he does outside of basketball should be commended. And I think he gets kind of persecuted, a bad rep, and it's not totally fair. I kind of understand it. A bit knucklehead, but he dipped January 7th.
Oh, the Bruins are losing, huh?
Uh-oh. He dips January 7th, but I'm saying it was all conspiracy, Kyrie Irving and this whole thing, just to get James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets. And now, hot take, Jimmy Askins' hot take of the week. Anton, check the odds on this. I know, well, I'm not sure if you're still a betting man. I know I'm not, because I lost so much. But this, if I still was a betting man, I would say right now, Kyrie Irving will win Finals MVP.
As no, I'm not a betting man. And I I can't even lie.
That bet actually sounds better than it actually is.
But like, you can't even check the odds on that because like the odds are actually probably incredibly awesome if you can find a bookie that would take that bet, because not only do the Brooklyn Nets who have to make the finals, they have to win the finals, and Kyrie Irving has to be the MVP with two other superstars on his team.
I'm telling you, I'd lock it in. It's probably plus a million. But just the fact of that trade happening and making them the favorite in the East, definitely way over the Celtics.
I think they lost that trade. I'm going to stand by it. I don't care.
Yeah, Jared Allen.
Caris LeVert is a mini Kevin Durant. LeVert is a fucking awesome player. The depth they had.
Indiana allowed them got to make him too, right?
What?
Indiana got him too, right?
Yeah, they got him. Oladipo went to where the fuck went?
Houston. He went to Houston. I think that's a big pickup for Houston. I think he's a player.
I think Caris LeVert is a really I don't maybe I'm very high on him, but Jared Allen. Did you watch them on Christmas Day just whoop our ass?
Yeah.
We had no fucking shot. They had their bench was like a starting lineup for the Charlotte Hornets. Like it's incredible.
I just think it's fascinating, the chess game that Kyrie has played with the media to get all this heat on him and distract everything and make him untradeable. Because again, the Houston Rockets were kind of asking, hey, if we're going to trade you James Harden, who's an absolute all-star, all-pro, whatever, we kind of want Kyrie. And Kyrie made sure, like, you know what? I'm just going to go vanish for 2 weeks.
But they get
and now it's a big three. It's they are so ahead of the Celtics and Sixers, and the only competition they have in the East now is the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks got Jrue Holiday. That's an upgrade over Bledsoe. Those Pelicans, don't sleep on them either.
Zion's legit.
Zion?
But, I mean, with the Brandon Pelicans, Ingram, he's not doing nothing.
Brandon Ingram, Steven Adams, Bledsoe.
They're not going anywhere.
They have a very, very good team. Don't sleep on them.
What's their ceiling?
Ball. What?
What's their ceiling? What's the most the Pelicans?
They're too young this year.
A 4-0 sweep in the first round to the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah, that's like their ceiling.
Yeah, the Pelicans are in the East, no?
No, they're in the West.
They're in the West. Fuck. Yep. You know what I've always gotten wrong and confused for like ever, and I will continue.
You're right. Though New Orleans is in the East.
The Pelicans and the Hornets.
Oh yeah, God.
Like it's actually on the East Coast. Like I get what you're saying.
Like no, but yeah. Like the teams, I just get them confused. Like yep. Michael Jordan, I don't even know which one he owns. It's the Hornets. But
I had to think about it.
The Bobcats.
It's the one that Gordon Hayward plays for. Yeah. So switching now from the hardwood to the baseball diamond, local guy, not really too local from Connecticut, I guess, George Springer, instead of choosing the Boston Red Sox, he chooses to play in Buffalo, the Toronto Blue Jays, who will play in Buffalo because everyone wants to play in Buffalo. That's where the AAA is. It's just, you know, since the Bills have been good, everyone wants to go there now. So George Springer signs. What do you think, Matt? What do you think, Anton?
I
not think, good for your Rays.
Why?
Well, AL East, right?
Yeah, so what?
The Blue Jays offense is stacked.
Oh. You know what? The AL East, if I was going to rank it, it's the Rays. Blue Jays line is Yankees, fucking scary right now.
It's the Yankees. No. Well, no. It's the Rays. It's the Blue Jays. It's the Orioles. It's a pile of shit. And then there's the Red Sox.
At least we agree there. But no, That Blue Jays lineup with another year of Bichette, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Biggio's son there, that's a wrecking crew. They signed another big pitcher as well.
They had Michael Brantley for like 3 seconds, according to reports, and then they're like, no, he's actually signed back with the Astros.
No, we'll take Springer.
Yeah, right. You kidding me?
Springer seems, I guess, I've heard he's a really good guy. He wanted out of Houston with all the cheating allegations and all that shit.
I just don't understand going to Toronto. I mean, like,
what do you mean? Look at that lineup right now.
Yeah, but you want to go play in Toronto, dude? Why don't you go play in like New York, or I'm not even saying Boston. I'm not even forget that.
It's
I'm not
a talking dome.
About. Why don't you go play out west where it's nice out, not in Toronto where it's cold as shit and you can't even go over the border yet?
Again, you got. They're an up-and-coming team.
They are absolutely an up-and-coming team. I just don't see the sexiness, the sex appeal in going and playing for the Toronto Blue Jays.
And if you – and Honestly, that Baltimore Orioles team, if somehow they can ever develop pitching in their life, they've ruined so many pitchers like Chris Tillman and so many pitchers that just Arrieta, once he went to the Cubs.
Bundy.
Yeah.
Dylan
if they
Bundy
ever did it.
He threw gas like 99.
He was great.
He's
and,
nothing.
Once he left the Orioles, he was fine. He had a good
season. Who's he played for now? Like Angels. The Canton A's?
The Angels.
The Angels? Oh, I didn't even see him. Oh, he did. Not like
an all-star, but
that's another place that Spring could have gone to. The Angels would have been a good team.
I think they get Trevor Bauer, by the way.
Who that? Yeah, he always wants to go to the team that's like so close yet so far.
The Mets are I think the Mets and the Angels are where Bauer goes. But
the Mets will forever be the Mets.
I like to see them.
But they also just got Carrasco and Lindor. Lindor fired
a woman or like the guy had like 60
that was
text
terrible.
Messages.
That was
a
dick. Yeah, that was tough.
Being a woman in this in any high
in sports
hierarchy in sports must
finally
be so difficult.
Yeah, or back in the day, imagine how bad that would have been.
Yeah, it's just a shame. That's a shame. Shame on the Mets.
But I mean, back to my point, the Orioles they have some players.
Oh, 2-0 Philly.
Go on. Fuck, I bet the Bruins. I think they'll surprise some people if you're gonna take some like over some season overs. I'd like to see their number. I bet they'll start in the low 70s. If it's anywhere around 70, 71, I'm taking the over on their win total.
I think Matt Duffy would have signed with the Blue Jays if he had.
Yeah, I'll take that. I mean, I think the Rays win the East still. I'm not worried about our pitching.
I don't think the Rays win the East. I think the Yankees do, but they'll both get in the playoffs. Like
LeMahieu going back to the Yankees, that sucks
for
all
of us. That's tough. No, the Corey Kluber is going to be big. He's going to have a year. Oh, yeah.
Yankee State. He's fine. He's old, though. I'm not worried about Kluber.
He can still play. Closing notes. UFC's this weekend. The notorious Conor McGregor. We talked about the last pod, but I just want to get predictions. Conor McGregor's going against Dustin Poirier. It's their second time fighting. They both fought when they weren't really Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. Fight Island, Abu Dhabi. I think this has Conor McGregor written all over it. I think it's going to be a hell of a fight, though, when Dustin Poirier is really going to stand his ground. I'm thinking second round KO, though.
For Poirier, McGregor gets his head caved in. You don't flirt with retirement.
You're going dogs.
I'm going dogs. Damn right, I'm going dogs. Especially in the MMA world. Love the dogs. And McGregor, man, you know he has 1 foot out, 1 foot in. This dude is so gassed up by his fan base. It's unreal. I'm sorry to upset probably 95% of our listeners that probably are Irish and love McGregor. But let me tell you something.
Play the devil's advocate. I like it.
No, I mean I'm just. As a person, and Poirier is an absolute beast, and this is their second fight.
Yeah,
this is their second fight. He's gonna want to get that win.
Yeah,
back.
But you know what? He fought Dan Hooker last time, and if he wins, it will just prove how good Dan Hooker is. Dan Hooker's in the co-main event, but when he fought him last time, he borderline almost lost.
Do you know Dan Hooker's fighting? Perchance, I'm sure that'd be probably the fight of the night.
Something Bennett. He was like he's a Bellator. He was in Bellator. He was good enough to fight in UFC. Never did. Just signed a contract. He was like the, waiver guy in case Khabib or Gaethje backed out before that fight. Yeah. There was a whole like thing behind it. Either way, that's the co-main event. I honestly need to look up more before I make a pick for that, so I'm not going to make a pick here. My bottom line was that if Dustin Poirier wins this fight, it's going to prove that Dan Hooker's the real deal because he put up a hell of a fight against Poirier.
Definitely.
Yeah. I agree with the Jimmy here I'm not saying that Poirier wins, but McGregor does have foot in and out both camps, you know, willing to fucking box, fucking one of the Pauls, wasn't he? I mean, his head's everywhere. He's got a whiskey company. If I had a whiskey company, I wouldn't fucking want to get my head caved in. Are you kidding me? I want to sit there and drink my own whiskey.
Right.
I just think that's why he's only fought like one fight in the last year because he needs to actually like focus and prepare on it. I feel like he went away somewhere, had a whole camp. He looks like he's in the best shape of his life, and I think he's going to dominate. I think there's a second round
camp. I hope so. I am a McGregor fan.
I'm
not
going to
hide
it
or anything, but he's
going to get violent.
What I'm going to do is I'm going up to New Hampshire to fight, and I'm going to make some ridiculous bets at long odds, and I'm going to lose all my money, and I'm going to come home with no money. I mean, it's that simple.
But you're still up 60K, though, right?
sprinkle Poirier rounds 3, 4, and 5. That's my advice to you.
Yep. I you know what? Actually, I'll guarantee a lock to anybody who listens, and if not, I will. Fine, I'll do it. I will pour milk, a gallon of milk, on my fucking head.
If what?
If it does not go over. Does not the over, whatever it is
we have a gallon of milk bet. Let's go.
A gallon of milk bet.
I'll do it.
We have not seen this since the Jimmy Askins debacle of Saints minus 4 against the Raiders in week 1, I believe it was, and I had to pour a whole gallon.
What's the over? Can we get an over total here?
I'm
real
sure
quick?
It's over 4.5.
Is it? I'll get a look.
Make sure.
Just keep talking. So
3.5 helps me, though. That's the only reason I want to check.
I
want the over.
That's going to be an absolute electric city video. Bring it on.
Give it to me. Give me the over. Feed me the over.
One thing, though, the UFC, while we're on UFC, is the absolute fantastic fight, mesmerizing fight of Cater versus Holloway. Bloodbath, our boy Calvin Cater from around here.
It
all on the line against Max. Blessed Holloway?
Max Holloway, I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer, a former champion. That was the best performance I've ever seen him in the octagon.
He was talking shit to the announcer.
He was incredible.
While
he's done that before, though. He beat up Ortega once, who's actually fighting for the belt against Volkanovski.
Oh, yeah.
And it got so bad where, like, Ortega couldn't see that, like, Holloway helped him put his hand up. He's like, that's the technique. That's how you do it. So he's not even talking shit. It's more of just, like, I'm this guy, and I'm going to take over, and that's what I do.
Who did Max lose to in his prior fight?
Volkanovski, well, he's lost to him twice. Yeah, he was a champion.
And that was an absolute barn burner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He put up a really good fight. Obviously, we're all rooting for Calvin Kattar here. But you know what? His resiliency, he showed a lot, but he didn't have what it took.
So what's that milk bet?
So what was it? So you said
I have the over. I don't care. I don't know the round yet.
You have the over?
Yeah.
So the over is plus 155. So the under is minus 185. And we're talking about 2.5 rounds here.
In a 5-round fight?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's a lock.
It's not a lock.
No, he's betting on plus money here. The minus money is for him to pour a gallon of milk on his head.
They think McGregor and Poirier is going to go over.
I thought it was 4.5.
No, they think it's going under.
Oh, yeah, so they think it's going under. Wow. I wonder why that is.
I'm curious, because of
the notorious Conor McGregor.
I was hoping for 3.5.
No, we're having a fighter that's so big on his brand and who he is. He's going to get his head caved in by Poirier and the underdog.
Well, no, you know what? Now I'm a little worried. It's plus money and 2.5 because
McGregor's
going to
knock him out in the second
round.
Now
I'm a little worried.
Got milk?
Well, 1 minute on that, folks. Want to thank you for tuning in. As also the New England Football Journal's Kevin Stone for joining the show, talking football. You know, Steel and Nash shirts are always available for purchase. So get on it. That's all from Steel and Naz, or tonight it was Askins Naz and Anton, however you want to say it. Naz Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. Be safe out there, ladies and gentlemen. One love.
Adios.
Go McGregor.